Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Arauco's first quarter 2018 results conference call. Today, we have with us Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Arauco. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded, and all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are completed, there will be a Q&A session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star then zero to reach the operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that this presentation contains forward-looking statements that are based on the beliefs, assumptions, and expectations of the management of the company based on currently available information. They involve risks and uncertainties because they relate to future events or expectations, and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Arauco and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. For further discussion of these risks and uncertainties, investors should refer to quarterly and annual Arauco filings with the Chilean CMF and the U.S. SEC. The company undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements due to new information or future developments. Now, I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Gianfranco Truffello, CFO of Arauco. Mr. Gianfranco, you may begin your conference.
Okay, thanks very much, and welcome everyone to this first quarter 2018 conference call. As usual, we will go through the agenda that is in page number two. We will show a brief financial review, and then we will dive into the business segments. We will talk about how the market was for the quarter and how we are looking at the near future. We will end up with some material facts, news, and a round of Q&A. In page number four, we can see a snapshot of the results for the quarter. You can see that our revenues went up to $1,465 million from $1,331. Our adjusted EBITDA was $463 million. That is an all-time record for the company, going up from $338 million the last quarter of 2014. Our net income also was quite high, $200 million compared with $83 million of the last quarter. Because of the increasing EBITDA, basically, our net debt to leverage went down from 2.7 times to 2.5 times. Our net debt went up to $3.8 billion. Page number five, going a little bit more in detail about the increase in revenue. The main reason for the $133 million of increase in sales is an increase of about 15% in pulp, $96 million, which is basically explained by higher average prices in the pulp sector. We also had a 7.3% increase in the wood product business. That is basically due to higher sales volume, especially in Brazil and the United States. In terms of cost of sales, this also went up, but on a lower percentage to 4.1%, and is explained basically by some increase in forestry cost in harvesting, and some freight in the movement of logs because of higher average distances. Also, we had an increase in service for sawmills. That is basically an accounting change because we have to reassign some of the labor cost from administrative expenses to cost of goods sold in sawmill. In terms of unitary cost of pulp, softwood and hardwood remain constant at about with only less than 0.1% change. We had an increase in unbleached softwood of 4.7%, which is basically explaining maintenance cost due to the two annual stoppages of our two unbleached mills during the first quarter. Going to page six, we can see that our administrative expenses went down $8 million, That is a 5.7% decrease. That is explained by a decrease in other miscellaneous expenses, lower expenses in project and studies, and also because we, in the fourth quarter, we had a one-time charge in Uruguay of $2 million. Counterbalancing that, we had also an increase of $5.6 million in wage, salaries, and severance indemnities, and this is basically caused by a change in the calculation, the accounting change, of compensation of years of service. In distribution cost, remained basically stable, decreased only by 0.4%, that is 0.5 million. And the main explanation for that is an increase in freight of 2.5% due to higher volume and some increase in unitary cost of freight. Page number 7, other income. Here we are seeing a big increase, but basically the explanation is because we had a one-time charge in the fourth quarter because of the adjustment of inventory. So now we are going back to normal increases in the fair value of biological assets quarter by quarter. The same happened in other expenses, which we fell to 17 million from 47 million. That is, in the fourth quarter, we had a one-time higher charge of solvency provision and fixed assets for 22 million. Also, we had in the fourth quarter a one-time increase in tax expenses related to bond issuance of 6 million and other tax provisions that were not present this quarter. Page 8, our financial cost went down 64.5 million to 50 million. And here again, the explanation is that in the fourth quarter we have an abnormal charge of the accounting for the repurchasing of the bonds that we did in November, and that it was about 60 million of a one-time accounting charge that is not present this quarter. So now we are running at a more normal level of financial expenses, about 50 million per quarter. In relation to tax expense, the last quarter of 2017, we had a positive income tax of 95 million because of the impacts in deferred tax of the changes in the tax rate in Argentina and the U.S. That made that positive move. This quarter, we have a normal tax that is more related to the income before tax, which is also higher this quarter because of the higher result observed this period. So now we are more normal levels of 50 million per quarter in taxes. Page 9, seeing the whole picture of the income statement, you can see there that the net income is $198 million. We had a little bit of exchange rate difference impact of $1 million positive and some positive impact of $6 million in participation in associated companies through the equity period. The rest we have already talked about. Page 10, if we now look at adjusted EBITDA, you can see there that our adjusted EBITDA margin was 32%. That is absolute number 463. From that number, pulp was 343, wood 92 million, forest 352, and then we have the corporate adjustments of minus 24. Again, this is the record quarter for Arauco. And the basic explanation is an increase in prices of pulp that we have seen in the market. The pulp EBITDA margin reached 47%, which is also a very good number. And also we had an increase in wood division EBITDA of 4.7% because of higher volumes and in some timber panels and plywood. You can see there the evolution from the 338 to the 463.5, and the increases of 90 million in pulp, 4.1 in wood, $10 million of EBITDA increase in forestry, and a decrease of the corporate adjustments of 21.8 million. If we go to page 12 now, and we move to the business segments, we can talk a little bit about pulp. You can see in that graph the evolution of list prices for Europe of NBSK and BHKP, and you can see that the trend of increasing prices have continued. That started at the beginning of 2017. Prices continue to go up in Europe, basically catching up with the prices in China that were stable during the quarter. The spread of the both fiber at least price is $111, which is very similar to the spread that we are seeing on a net prices basis, at least in China. Last quarter was $61 per ton on these prices. We're going to talk a little bit more about the increase in softwood in Europe. In terms of demand for bleached chemical pulp, the demand for pulp was quite stable in the 3 months of 18 compared with the same period of 17, only a 0.2% increase. And the big increase was basically in West Europe, where we saw a 4.2% that was balanced by a decrease in North America of 3.6%. Now moving up to page 13, we can see the EBITDA of the pulp division moving up from $254 million to $343 million. The main reason for this is basically an increase in price of 13.3% and a slight increase in volume of 0.7%. If we compare that with a year ago, we have a huge increase in price of 43% compared to the same quarter 1 year ago and a decrease in volume of 8%. In terms of what we're seeing, we saw in the market in the first quarter, we saw the Asian markets with high demand after the Chinese New Year, and prices remained stable in China, and were increasing in Europe, catching up with the prices in that market. In terms of markets in Europe, we saw very active demand with paper producers operating at full capacity, which allowed them to pass some of the increased fiber cost to their customers. We saw also a relative higher increase in long fiber compared to short fiber that was due basically by certain supply restrictions explained by harvest problem in some Scandinavian pulp producers. In terms of our volume of production, our volume increased basically because of less program maintenance stoppage, and also because in the fourth quarter we have the blockage in our Constitución mill with lowered the production for about 35,000 tons, and also we had some production losses in Argentina because of longer than expected maintenance in the mill in Alto Paraná. Page 14. In that graph, we can see the production and sales. As you can see, the sales were more stable, increasing only from 887,000 tons to 893. But production went up from 834 to 931, now at more normal levels quarter by quarter. In terms of the pulp mill maintenance stoppages that we had in the last quarter and this quarter, you can see that we had a very big mills stopping for maintenance, like the Nueva Aldea and Arauco Line 2. And in the first quarter, we had the two mills that produce unbleached softwood craft pulp, which is Licancela and Constitución, and then we had a 14-day stoppage in Valdivia, as was originally programmed. In terms of inventory levels, as of March 2018, the inventories for softwood are 31 days, have been more or less stable for about a year now, and in hardwood, we saw an increase of from 38 to 45 days. That is more or less the same that we had as of September 2017. Now in page 15, we look a little bit about the outlook. First, starting with the graph of prices that we have been able to get in China, you can see there that prices went up in January for softwood and remained stable at $890 for all the quarter and also for April and May business that were confirmed. And in terms of hardwood, we stayed at 790, and we had only a slight increase to $800 as of May 18. The demand we're seeing in the second quarter is very stable, which normally is not that way. Because of seasonality, we In normal years, we see some decreasing demand because of the start of the summer in the Northern Hemisphere. This time is different, and we're seeing stable demand. No changes in prices. And as I mentioned earlier, this stable price scenario in Asia has helped the European prices to recover gradually. And now the spread between the net price in Europe and China could be about $20 to $30, no more than that. In terms of maintenance for our mills, in the following quarters, we have in April the Arauco Line 1 that stopped for 13 days, and then we have only at the end of the year the Montes del Plata mill in November, and the Line 2 of Arauco stopping also near October for normal maintenance. Now, if we move to page 16, wood product business. Here we have an increase of 4.7% from 87 to 92. And here the main explanation quarter over quarter is volume, 8.4% more volume sold, with a slight decrease in price of 1.2%. That is in composite panels. In sawn timber, we have an increase in price of 4.5% with a quite stable volume. In terms of what we saw in the market, we basically had increased sales volume in MDF and particle board in our major market, which is North and South America, with stable prices in the United States and Canada. In Mexico, which represents about 10% of our sales of this segment, volume decreased due to difficulties in transferring higher prices of MDF to customers. In terms of some timber, we saw increasing prices in Asia. We're seeing demand that continues to be strong, and good consumption levels of the manufacture good products. Plywood still showing good results, with prices and production increasing quarter over quarter, and with high demand in markets where the construction sector is very dynamic, as for example North America. In page 17. We have some graphs showing the production there. You can see the increase in production in sales of panels and also production. And some timber quite stable in terms of sales, a little bit increase in the volume of production. And in plywood, we are seeing balanced levels of production and sales. Now looking at the outlook in page 18. Our major market is North America, with 46% of our sales of this segment going there. And we have that graph showing the housing start index, which has been going up very slowly since the end of the housing crisis. Now it's at the level of about 1.3 million houses a year. The demand for MDF and particle board is stable. We are seeing some improvements in MDF moldings, basically due to seasonality. And we are seeing some increase and better prospect in remanufactured wood products after some slow start of the year because of winter reasons and also some competition from China and Brazil. Plywood, as I already told, is a very good demand with more volume accepting some price increases. Page 19, now moving to Central and South America, which represents 35% of our sales. We have had better results than we thought at the beginning in Brazil, with a good integration of our assets, both from Macisa, the two mills that we bought from them, and we integrated as of the end of last year. But we're a little bit cautious about the future with new capacity coming up in Brazil. And because also of the volatility that could happen of having elections in the second semester in Brazil. Argentina, we had a good quarter in terms of results and sales, but the second and the following quarters are more uncertain. You know that volatility has come back to Argentina, and so we are cautious about what will happen, but we have had good results until now. Chile, as usual, is a good scenario for panels and some timber, especially in remanufactured wood products. And we are able to increase some prices and improve the mix of products that we sell in Chile. Now, the rest of the market, which represents less percentage of our sales, like Asia, we have price increases seen in some in markets of Japan and Korea. China, a little bit slower, but more competition coming from Brazil. And in Europe and Middle East, the demand remains strong, with private consumption still high. Move to page 20, and we talk a little bit about our cash flow. This quarter, we had a negative free cash flow that is basically explained by an impact of working capital variation. We had a good quarter in terms of EBITDA, but since our accounts receivable and inventory went up because of more production and higher sales price, we couldn't see the real impact in cash of the increase in EBITDA in the quarter. Also, we had a decrease in accounts payable because of some payments that we had to do of some projects that affected our cash flow. In terms of interest paid, we paid less interest because of the due dates of interest that we have in this quarter. We had a positive news of $22 million that we got back from taxes in Chile regarding some forestry mergers that we did in the past. And then others payments basically explained by some accounts payable in Maciza Brazil company now paying to Maciza Chile for the intercompany loans that were paid in January. CapEx was lower from $232 million to $183 million, basically explained by a decrease in the CapEx of a grading project. We spent less money in this quarter, counterbalanced by some increase in forestry investments this quarter. So at the end of the quarter, we had an increase in that debt from $3.7 billion to $3.8 billion, which is explained basically by a negative free cash flow plus some effect of exchange rates in the debt side, not denominated in U.S. dollars. Page 21, even though we had an increase in net debt, we were able to decrease our leverage because of the increase in the last 12 months EBITDA, which went up to $1.5 billion from $1.35 billion this quarter. So the net effect was going from 2.7 to 2.5. Our cash and cash equivalent went down, of course, because we paid more of receipts than we received from accounts receivable. And that was the reason that our cash went down. Net financial debt, as I told you, $3.8 billion, that is composed by $4.3 billion of gross debt and almost $500 million of positive net cash position. Page 22, our debt amortization schedule. It's more or less the same that we saw at the end of last year after the purchase of the bonds that we did in November. And for the rest of 2018, we have to pay about $450 million, which is divided in $390 in bank loans and almost $70 in interest from bonds. From the bank amortizations, we have $140. That is the normal amortization of the Montes de Plata loans that we do every year. Then we have an amortization of $200 million of a trade loan that is due in September. And the rest are some guaranteed leasings that we have with subcontractors and some small amortizations in some of our Brazilian subsidiaries. Regarding the material facts and news, page 24, showing some pictures of our railing project, now with less snow than the last presentation. The weather is getting better, so construction is advancing now at a better pace. We are at 60% completion. We expect that the mill could be producing the last quarter of 2018. The capacity, of course, just to remember, is going to be 800,000 cubic meters of particle board, the cost of the project is expected to be about $400 million. Page 25, or the Sovereign Pot project, is about a 20% completion. We already have 97% of all the equipment assigned and purchased, not yet paid, but already assigned to the equipment vendor, so everything is contracted. The expected CapEx is expected to be about $185 to $190 million, and the startup is expected to the last quarter of 2019. Just to remember, the conversion of this mill to the dissolving pulp would allow the mill to produce paper grade also, if we want to switch back to paper grade, depending on the relative prices of both fibers every year. We will be able to diversify our portfolio, accessing a wider range of fiber-based products and some new markets, especially in China and Indonesia. Also, we will reduce our capacity in paper grade, about 550,000 tons of LDMIL that will be converted to dissolving starting the end of 2019. Page 26, an update of the MAPA project. This project is a new liner, a line three of production of hardwood at the Horcones complex, where we have line one and line two of Arauco. It will be a line of 1.56 million tons. Will be an addition a net addition of capacity of about 1.26 million tons, because we will shut down at the moment of the startup Arauco line one, which is from the 1970s and is producing almost 300,000 tons of hardwood at this moment. We will also have a 166 megawatt cogeneration plant that will sell surplus to the grid. The project is advancing. It's not yet approved by the board. We expect to present it to the board probably at the end of July. But we have been advancing in having meetings with equipment suppliers, and we are defining the scope of the project, trying to refine the CapEx that will be involved here, and advancing quite quickly. Page 26, we just renewed our commitment to the FCC certification. In April, we had the normal recertification assessment process. It was carried the last 2 weeks of April. There was a very demanding auditing and forest management process review by the certifying authority. And we are very happy. We don't have yet the official results, but we are very optimistic about the results, and we renew our commitment to our responsibility in being certified by the FCC. And finally, in page 28, we started our exchange offer that was promised when we issued our bonds in November. We issued the bonds with registration rights, so we committed to swap those bonds with registered bonds in the SEC in a period of less than 360 days. We started officially the exchange offer in May 7th, and that offer will end up to June 4th, where we will be exchanging all of our standing notes with validity notes that are freely tradable. Okay, that's what I have in this call, and I would like to open for any questions that you have about the presentation or anything about that outcome. Thanks.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions from investors and analysts. If you have a question, please press star then one on your touch-tone phone at this time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star then two. Questions will be taken in the order that they are received. We do ask that when you pose your question, you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we poll for questions. The first question comes from Arthur Suolato of Bradesco BBI. Please go ahead.
Thank you. The first question will be regarding pulp prices. I know they mentioned in the presentation that you are seeing kind of a stable outlook for prices, but I just want to maybe understand if you could see some short-term correction ahead of the summer months in Europe and in the Northern Hemisphere as a whole, if this could impact pool prices at this point. And also, if you understand, we could see a correction in the spread between the fibers is, at high levels at this point, between softwood and hardwood. And how would you expect this spread to remain at these levels, especially considering, the restrictions against RCP imports in China? That would be my first question. And my second question would be regarding wood panels. We haven't been hearing about some potential new price initiatives in wood panels market here in Brazil. I'd like to understand if you consider implementing these hikes, especially considering that BRL's depreciation, and this probably caused some kind of cost impacts regarding imports of resin and paper. And you should understand that the market would accept this kind of price initiatives at this point. That would be my two questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Arthur. Regarding the pulp prices, we are, of course, every year you see some softening in the summer months. But we have seen this year, and probably last year was kind of the same. Now we are kind of into the summer, and we haven't seen any decrease in prices. So prices of June are being negotiated this time, and we haven't seen some any softening in the market. So that's why I will expect that there will be no short-term correction during the summer. After that, of course, it will depend on how the market is after the summer and how is the balance between demand and supply. If we see some demand picking up again and some shortening, of course, we can see some increase in prices after the summer. But as what we have seen now, which we are kind of into the summer now because we are negotiating price for June, we haven't seen any short-term correction in pricing. Regarding the spread between softwood and hardwood, now the spread is about $90, and I don't see any reason why that spread should change in the coming month. I don't see any movement, big movements in supply and demand that could trigger some changes, at least in the short term. In Europe, we have seen some restrictions in supply that affected long fiber, but in China, we haven't seen any change that will give us a thought of any change in the spread. So I would guess that it should stay more or less the same. But we have to see what happens after the demand picks up again in the month of probably August and July and August and September after coming up from the summer season in the Northern Hemisphere. And now, if I understood well, you wanted to know about our position in price increases in Brazil. I don't have any detailed information about what's really happening right now at the prices. We have seen better results than we thought or we budget in Brazil in terms of volume and prices. But it's very hard to predict if that is going to be continue because there's some new capacity coming up in the rest of the year, and also all the mills there are not working at full capacity. So there's some space for increasing volume that could start going into the market as long as prices increase. But I don't have any information right now what is going on in right now in terms of price movements in Brazil. We have to see what happens with the economy. I think the interest rates are quite low compared to standards in Brazil, about 6% a year, and that should put some pressure in consumption and demand. But we have the election there. It's not clear how it's going to happen over there, so there's some volatility in the market.
Right here. Thank you.
The next question will come from Hernan Kisluk of MetLife. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. It's regarding the MAPA project that it seems, according to recent news, that it's advancing quickly now. So I would like if you can comment on how we are planning to finance the project, and on that regard also if you have had discussions with the rating agencies about it, And a second question, also linked to MAPA, is that I would like to know if you have to invest in forestry, additional forestry, to supply this new line. So these are my two questions.
MAPA is advancing more quickly. I mean, the projects have been approved are going up. I think that the environment is better in terms of pricing, of no other projects coming to the market. I think that makes sense to go quickly, and we are working on that to present all the information for an approval at the board. So, yes, we are starting to work on the finance of the project. Of course, we are considering the usual suspects in this case, ECAs, bank loans, bonds, of course, internal cash generation, but because we think that the next 2 to 3 years is going to be good years in terms of pricing environment, because no new supply is going to come to the market. So I think we're going to be able to generate good EBITDA, also good free cash flow to pay for a big portion of the capex. We don't have the definite design of the finance yet, but we're starting to talk with banks and with some ECAs in order to understand and present a financing plan to the board. We have talked a little bit with the rating agencies, but nothing definitely. We need to run our projections and exchange that with them in order to know their opinion. And I think that will happen in next month. We will have discussion with them regarding the capital composition of our investment. Numbers are looking good, and our leverage has gone down very quickly, and we expect that to continue during this year. So we should be able to finance this project without any problem. In terms of forestry, we have been doing our conversion or increasing the planting of eucalyptus for some time now, because this project was designed to start a long time ago, and so we are able to build our forestry base. Of course, this kind of project always starts with some a bigger portion of fiber that has to be bought from third parties, but we should be able to get to normal levels of third-party supply very quickly. So we don't expect a big increase in the purchase of wood, because the project has been delayed some time now, and we were able to increase our plantation.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question will come from Sebastian Ramirez of Tosca Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, many thanks for the presentation. I have a couple of doubts. The first one coming from the pulp division. In particular, I want to understand if you can please comment where in the restoring of the supply of the Scandinavian producers are we right now? It was a theme touched by most of the companies in the sector during the first quarter and fourth quarter last year and this quarter. I want to understand if that has been resolved. And also in the pulp division, that was seen for several companies, cash costs regarding good and caustic soda going up. And you have bear that very well within your operations. And I want to understand if you have seen pressures on that side. That's the first question. The second one comes on wood panels. You bought the operations of Maciza on Brazil last quarter. The results of this quarter considers that operation within the numbers. And how confident are you that the transaction in Mexico with Maciza assets will get through during the first half of this year? And the last one is, I've been struggling to try to understand where the numbers of Sonae panels are being considered within your numbers. Are within the wood panels division, or those are discounted in the corporate adjustments that you publish every quarter? That would be for my side.
Okay, thank you, Sebastian. Let's go one part here. In terms of the effect in long fiber prices or the Scandinavian producers. Yes, that's one thing that we have heard of, one of the reasons why long fiber has gone up in Europe. I mean, I don't know if that continues to be. I mean, normally what happens is during the winter, the logs are obtained from the forest in roads that can be traveled because of ice. When you have a warm winter, you have mud there, and the trucks cannot go very easily to the forest, and that's why you have problems extracting logs there, and that creates a problem supply of fiber, and that creates a problem of production of softwood. And I think that now going to the summer, those roads should be drier, and that problem should disappear. But by the way, we don't sell a lot of, I mean, sell of long fiber to Europe is almost zero. We sell basically hardwood, so or the effect in our numbers is not very important over there. In terms of our cost of production, you mentioned some increasing prices in cost of forestry, the impact of cost of fiber and chlorate. Chlorate has been going up, yes, the price of chlorate because of price of energy, basically, and some chemicals going up, but a portion of the chlorate that we produce is on our production that we have some a joint venture with a company here, and it's more associated with prices of electricity. And price of electricity in Chile has stayed down a little bit. So there's not a lot of effect in the price of the cost of chlorate that we are seeing, at least in Chile. Maybe in Montes del Plata, where we buy chlorate from third parties, the impact could be a little bit higher. But in terms of forestry costs, we haven't seen any big increases in the cost of wood for our operations. Maybe a little bit in harvesting, some effects of exchange rate that moves a division that has more cost in Chilean pesos as for pulp, but no big increases in forestry costs, in our case at least. Now for panels, you asked for the numbers of Maciza Brazil. I mean, we started consolidating the numbers at the end of December, and of course this quarter has the numbers of production, sales, everything from those two mills incorporated in our operations, and will continue to be that way. The operation of Mexico is under the review of the antitrust authorities in Mexico. The process continues. They are asking questions. We are answering them, and we expect that we can have an answer probably around September on that. We don't have any big news on that, and we are still waiting for the final approval of the antitrust authorities in Mexico. And the last question was regarding Zona Arauco. Zona Arauco, we don't consolidate that. We only accounted as the equity method, so in the numbers of production, sales, in volumes, everything is not included. Only appears in the consolidation adjustments for the EBITDA. But it's accounted only the net result of the company, not the EBITDA of Zona Arauco, because we recognize only the net income in our account statement.
Perfect. And if I may grab a little bit more from the first answer in terms of what you've seen, what should be seen in the short term in terms of pulp dynamics. Are you expecting that if a correction happens, comes more from a decrease on the spread that we're seeing right now in long fiber with short fiber, with long fiber going down, or you don't, as you commented before, but it seems that the availability of long fiber during the first quarter was one of the issues making the company able to have such a strong pricing during a very short period of time last year. So do you think that that's something to stay at this kind of $890 per ton level?
The truth is that I don't know. It could be an explanation. That effect was basically in Europe, where the long fiber went up. In China, it remained constant. So could be. I mean, but the real thing is that I don't know where that spread could change. I think that it will stay. But You are right. Probably there could be some pressure in long fiber, but it's a long shot, I think, for me. At least for me, it's very easy to predict what will happen with long fiber. I think that we need to wait until the demand picks up again in August or September to really know what is the balance in both fibers, and that will trigger changes in prices, of course, as it usually is seen.
Great. Many thanks for the answers.
The next question will come from Leoberta Silva of Larine Brile. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone. Hi, Gianfranco. So I have two questions. First of all, I would like to know which were the changes at the Montes del Plata mill in order to achieve the capacity increase. What was required to get the job done, and if it was planned in the first term when you were modeling the mill. And linked to that, my second question is, what are the chances of doing the same in MAPA? I know that under the current permits, you're not allowed to increase the mill's capacity, but how feasible it is that under maybe the new administration, new permits could be achieved? And are you evaluating this, and which could be the trade-off? Maybe building a larger mill in the first place, something like that. Thank you very much.
Yes. I mean, the changes in production of Monte del Plata was due to a lot of things. I mean, better production, more stable production, some debottlenecking that is normally expected when you are starting a new mill. And we always had a target of increasing the pulp mill capacity as time goes by. I mean, in the case of Uruguay, it's easier to increase the limits, the environmental limits that, of course, that is in Chile. And you always design the mill with some creep capacity that you, with some marginal investment, you can increase production. And that was our plan in Monte del Plata, and we are very happy that we have been able to fulfill that plan. And we expect that probably in the future we can increase that capacity to more than 1.4. But that will require some additional investment that we need to evaluate on a separate basis. In the case of MAPA, we haven't decided on the final equipment vendor or everything like that. So one question to be asked would be, of course, if we buy equipment with higher capacity than the original 1.556 million ton production. You always try to have some spare capacity in order to be able to increase the capacity in the future. But since we haven't defined the scope of the mill yet, I cannot answer that question right now. I think that in Chile, it's harder to obtain environmental permits and increase. And an example of that is that our environmental permit took, I don't know, from 2010, 2014, we presented the study, 2014 we got the approval, and then we were fighting for 3 years in the courts to finally be able to start the construction. So I think it's harder in Chile, but it's a decision that we have to think when we buy the equipment if we decide to go with the project.
All right, thanks. Thanks.
This concludes the question and answer session. At this time, I would like to turn the floor back to Mr. Gianfranco Trefello for any closing remarks.
Okay, well, as usual, thank you for attending this call. We are open for any further questions that you have through our Investor Relations Department. And we will meet again for the first half results that will probably be up in the middle of August, I think. So bye-bye, and thanks everyone for attending the call.
Thank you. This concludes today's presentation. You may disconnect your line at this time, and have a nice day.